Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If the New York Islanders are going to be eliminated, it's not going to be at Nassau Coliseum. It's the Yahoo Sports Hockey Podcast. Justin Cuthbert back with you 68 seconds into overtime. And after the Islanders had erased a 2-goal deficit while facing elimination in Game 6, Anthony Beauvillier picked off a loose pass from Blake Coleman of the Tampa Bay Lightning and roofed it on Andre Vasilevsky of the Tampa Bay Lightning to force a Game 7 versus Tampa on Friday night. It was Beauvillier's first of the series and first in 11 games. An enormous moment on a night where the Islanders, their fans, and the building itself refuse to fold. It's still possible that this Game 6 victory is the last act at Nassau Coliseum ever, as the Islanders are getting a new arena next year. It served as the setting to some of the most incredible moments in Islanders and hockey history. But if it is that last moment, if it is that last act, it will at least be one for fans of the franchise to savor for a very long time. So good on the Islanders and their fans for what was a rousing result on Wednesday night. If there was a player that sort of led that never say die charge, it was Matt Barzal, the Islanders' best player. Their star forward had maybe his best game of the playoffs, or at least his best period in period number three. He was absolutely dominant, and he eventually set up Scott Mayfield's game-tying goal in that period. And I'd love to see more advanced data on that period from Barzal, like more than the basic stuff that we can find online, because it just didn't cover it. It seemed like he had the puck on his stick in the offensive zone for a considerable fraction of that period, buzzing around, creating chances for himself and his teammates. Still all told in the game, he had two primary assists. He set up both regulation goals that the Islanders had, and he was really the difference for an Islanders team that needed someone, something to inspire some offense to break through against this Tampa side, which is as professional as it gets. For the Tampa Bay Lightning, it was just too many storms to weather on a night where they were expecting to feel that heat inside Nassau Coliseum. And despite what happened in Game 5, it was an 8-0 victory for Tampa Bay. The hockey world knew that the Islanders weren't going to let Tampa just have this. They weren't going to roll over. And Tampa knew this. And I think it shaped the way the team approached the game. It was all about absorbing what was coming to them and controlling the environment with their play. And again, I think they did incredibly well to start. And the first task was eliminating that early atmosphere. You knew the fans were going to be charged up and that the Islanders were going to bring their best off the hop. But the Lightning did an incredible job of holding the Islanders to just three shots, I think in the first 15, 16, maybe 14 minutes around that, and just seven shots in the period overall. And then with 4 minutes left in the first period, as the Lightning have really cut down on anything that the Islanders could produce, Braden Point opened the scoring, and it seemed Tampa Bay was off and running. And then that second storm came in the form of a 5-on-3 for Tampa Bay. So they survived the first, they had the lead. They come into the second period, and all of a sudden, Victor Hedman and Mikhail Sergachev went to the box, and the Islanders had both a 4-on-3 and a 5-on-3 over that stretch, and it looked like the game-tying goal was coming. But Jan Rutta had a huge block. Vasilevsky made a couple massive saves. I think they had seven shot attempts in that stretch of power play time, but they couldn't find that equalizer at least yet. And not only did Tampa weather the storm, but they actually came out way better on the way better end of it, because just as the penalty expired, or a couple moments after that, Anthony Cirelli scored to make it 2-0, accepting a breakaway pass and beating Semyon Varlamov. So another storm weathered, and it seemed like Tampa was in complete control at that point. But before the second period was up, Jordan Eberle scored a big goal for the Islanders, and it was sort of surprising giving, you know, he was like 1-on-3 at the time, and Vasilevskiy was in position. He just, I guess, couldn't see the puck. But the Islanders were back in it based on that late goal from Eberle, and they actually had the Lightning on their heels to close that period. And I'm thinking, okay, the Islanders just got to get through this period because the equalizer might come here, but if they can refresh and sort of reset in the intermission, they're going to be fine. But the third period was completely different, and it was Hurricane Barzal in that third period. And eventually, after Barzal started with the dominant 4-on-4 shift, nearly scored, I think, on his next shift or maybe the shift after that, he set up Scott Mayfield for that game-tying goal, and that set the stage for Anthony Beauvillier to score in overtime. Scott Mayfield is going to be a huge part of this story and further proof that we live in an unjust world, because I think on the first shift of the game, or maybe at least Nikita Kucherov's first shift, Mayfield delivered a nasty cross check. Coincidentally, right in front of Chris Lee, the official that's been taking a lot of heat and deservedly so here in these playoffs. I don't know if the cross check landed right on Kucherov's kidney or the ribs or a bit of the arm and that impacted the shoulder. I'm not really sure what happened to Kucherov, but it hurt him. It hurt the star player for Tampa Bay, and he left after trying to finish out his shift and did not return. So now the leading scorer for the Lightning, both in last year's playoffs and this year's playoffs, is questionable for Game 7 and beyond. I mean, that's a huge potential turning point and clearly a missed opportunity for Tampa Bay to not win that game and get a little bit more rest potentially for Kucherov. But it was another call blown by the officials, or something, another call at least overlooked, or a moment that was overlooked. And for the NHL, I mean, it's one thing to continue having Chris Lee refereeing, but we're flying him around the country to impact both series? I mean, what are we doing here? Are we not listening to the fans? Are we not listening to the uproar? Are we not evaluating these officials based on their performance? Or is, you know, the worse you do, the more opportunity you get and the more air miles you get to put in your bank account or your air miles account, I guess. Anyway, Scott Mayfield also drove Steven Stamkos headfirst in the boards, but that's not anything to get too hung up on considering the standard here in these playoffs. But anyway, the poster child for lax rules, at least in this game, was Scott Mayfield, who both got away with injuring a star player on the other side and then maybe like assumed his powers by scoring one of the best goals you'll ever see Scott Mayfield score to tie the game and, of course, lead to the overtime winner. Elsewhere, I was preparing to come on and criticize Adam Pellick and Ryan Pulock a little bit, that star, you know, that underrated star tandem, at least in terms of defensive pairings for the New York Islanders. They've been receiving a lot of positive attention. I mean, they're still under the radar guys, but there's a little bit of chatter about the Olympic team potentially for both of them or one of them. And they've been really, really good and a driving force here, obviously, for the Islanders, but they didn't have a particularly strong game. It was both of them culpable on the goals scored by Tampa in regulation. Adam Pellick just couldn't handle Braden Point in front in the opening goal. And then I mentioned Cirelli's goal where he just skated into a breakaway pass. He actually skated by both Pellick and Pulock before receiving that pass. And I guess really no harm, no foul, because the Islanders won the game, but two important players, like Matt Martin maybe was after taking a bad penalty late in the game, breathing a sigh of relief for sure after Anthony Beauvillier's goal, because they would have had a long summer thinking about how they let Anthony Cirelli slip behind them. It does have to be mentioned that Braden Point, with his goal, has now scored in 9 consecutive games, and in Game 7 versus the Islanders, he can tie the record of goals in successive games in the postseason of 10 held by Reggie Leach. If he does that, I mean, on the last podcast, I was talking about how you can't really separate Point, Kucherov, and Vasilevskiy in terms of Conn Smythe contention, at least within the Islanders. But if he does that, matches a record that's been standing for about a quarter century, it's going to be hard to deny Braden Point, who, of course, does a lot more than just score in consecutive games for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Last note before we wrap things up, Lou Lamoriello named GM of the Year, I guess yesterday morning, based on the time you're going to be listening to this. Maybe, you know, the decision's aging a little bit better with this win, not that it really matters, but I mean, if we are, you know, awarding these executives or this criteria based on what's happening in the playoffs, and we did, I believe, include the first round, if I'm not mistaken, It seems weird that Mark Bergevin's not the one being recognized. I mean, his work is clearly superior to that of Lamoriello's. And, you know, Lamoriello did make a great trade bringing in Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac. It basically gave them a third line with Jean-Gabriel Pageau, who was brought in last year at the deadline. But Lou Lamoriello, also traded away Devon Toews, who's one of the best defensemen on one of the best teams in the NHL this year at the start of the season. So, you know, hard to reconcile that. But even so, okay, it worked out for them. They could be going to the Stanley Cup final here, so you can't really slam them for it too much. But if we're talking about him versus Bergevin, Bergevin brought in a bounty of players this year to drive the results the Montreal Canadiens are getting right now. He traded for Josh Anderson, signed Joel Edmondson, signed Tyler Toffoli, signed Jake Allen, signed Corey Perry, and even brought in Cole Caulfield for this playoff run after he was drafted in the first round a couple years back. But still, I mean, the amount of work Bergevin did to get his team to the point that it's at now, even if we never thought this was going to happen, I think he deserves the credit for that over Lamoriello, but I digress. Okay, looking ahead, tomorrow night, game 6 between the Vegas Golden Knights and Montreal Canadiens. We could either earn our second game 7, or the Montreal Canadiens, Canada's team, can advance on a provincial holiday in Quebec. We are coming down to it, and we'll continue to cover it here on the Yahoo Sports Hockey Podcast.